Hello and welcome to another episode of Goats and Oats.
My name is Jay, pronouns he, they.
My name is Zipporah, pronouns she, they. And before we get into this week's episode, we're going to read another one of the lovely reviews that you have left for us. So do you want to do the honors?
No, I can't see from this far away.
Oh, okay. That's fair. I could probably zoom into it though, but okay. So this review comes from Master Kate. Ooh, I like that. It's like eight, like the number eight. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and read this review. It's called Great Podcast. So this is a great podcast for vegans or anyone interested in learning about veganism. I specifically appreciate their takes on why white veganism is so harmful and also being vegan with a history of an eating disorder. So thank you for that. And we will make more content about that moving forward.
Ayo.
All right. So I guess let's get into this week's episode.
Okay, so those were the months until November.
And as you could have guessed, this episode is the episode about 2020.
Yeah, the one where we are going to be wrapping up the year. So for the first time ever, we're going to be coming to y'all with a bit of structure to this episode. So we're going to be moving through
it. We always have structure. I don't know.
But we're going to be moving through it in segments. So for example, if you only care about like your birth month, like, you know, this is how it's going to work. We're going to be going through in order of the months. And we're going to be talking about them in a way that is one sort of like relevant to everyone. And we're going to describe sort of what was happening during that month from at least like a North American kind of perspective. And then we're going to be talking about it in terms of what we were experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So for January...
Do you want to just go right in?
Sure. Do we want to do like a review of like, because I think it would be nice to go over the months and then at the end be like, so how was this year?
Okay. Yeah. You know? Let's do that. Yeah. Okay.
Should we chart
January?
Yeah, I know. January. I know. That's how we start the year. But do we want to talk about like the collective or our individual? You know what I mean?
January. Okay. We can start off with the collective. What characterized January?
So for me, I wrote down. this was the month that Meghan Markle and her beautiful son and her son's father left the royals. So no. It's also known as Megxit.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, she left that really
toxic relationship.
No, she's still in that relationship. That toxic environment with the queen and all that stuff. Like it was... yeah, not the tea, and glad that she left.
Some could say it was the tea.
True.
The queen steeped herself. You made your tea, now sip on it. Okay, no, just kidding.
Sip in it. That was a good one.
That was good.
So
that was
good. Was kind of January. I feel like collectively for every single person, that's just one fact that I pulled out.
Okay, January, I feel like more probably a collective like experience was like the like whispers of COVID were just
whispers in January?
Yes.
February.
No, I think January whispers were happening. There were whispers on the horizon.
Perhaps.
And so that's when it was just like, oh, this like mysterious thing in the wind.
True.
Okay.
Fair enough.
What were you experiencing in January? What were we doing in January?
So we were actually going over the year and we were talking about tattoos. And we were like, oh no, like, because we have a matching tattoos. So we have like a flame because we're both fire signs. And Jay is actually looking at his right now. Just for context. So
for
that
those
you know.
Of you who aren't watching on YouTube. Kidding.
Yeah. So I was sure that it happened in 2019. I was like, no, we were like in our old place and... Then they were like scrolling their phone. They're like, no, this happened this year. And I was like, oh, that means I got my dad's signature on my collarbone this year as well. So I guess I got two tattoos this year. Yeah. And I really this year was really long.
It was because so long.
I feel like I...
Because the gag was, y'all, I also got 2 tattoos this year that I completely forgot about. I was like looking... I had one done on my ribs, my first rib tattoo, which, mind you, I did fell asleep during. So I was like, this was really hyped up and it didn't need to be. And then the hip one hurt more than the rib one, to be honest. Yeah, so yeah, we got the matching flame sign, which was really nice. And then I got the 4 gibbons on my ribs. And I was like, oh, we got that like at the beginning of the year. That's wild. That's
funny.
Yeah. Okay, what was February like?
So February, okay, let's talk about the collective. So Parasite, the movie, won an Oscar.
Oh, Parasite was...
That was really good.
Amazing. Oof. If y'all haven't seen the movie, go check it out.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah, absolutely amazing.
And Love is Blind also was released in February. And so I was looking at a few...
I feel like that was also maybe Joe Exotic time, because I feel like Love is Blind and...
I never
the
watched
Tiger
that.
King was.
Oh yeah, I never watched that.
We didn't watch it either. We were in the same place.
Oh, true.
Yeah, but I think it was at the same time. So
yeah, and on Love Is Blind, I was seeing a lot of like tweets about how Jessica let her dog drink wine from her wine glass. So that was something that went viral. If ever you did watch Love Is Blind, you might remember that.
Yeah.
And
if you want to know, spoilers. Okay, we said it. Spoilers. The winners of Love is Blind were Cameron.
Why do you have to say the winners?
And Lauren. Well, I thought we were talking about Love is Blind.
It was a good show.
It was big.
In a sense,
what
though,
was the premise?
It did foreshadow what
was to come
for
That's
people
true.
Dating, right?
Oh my gosh. Maybe Plandemic. Okay, let's explain. just kidding.
So the premise of Love is Blind essentially is that you have like, I don't know how many single people, but like it's 30. Very heteronormative also.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you have like 30 single people. And so they're single and they're looking to like find the like Mr. Right and Mrs. Right, whatever.
It was
nonsense.
Very in the binary.
Very much in the binary.
There were only 2 genders on the show.
So yes. Yes. Yeah, so essentially, like, you would meet someone in a cubicle, kind of, but you weren't able to see them. So it was, like, you would enter this room, and then you were, like, face-to-face with them, but, like, with a wall in between you.
Yeah.
And so you would communicate via, like, obviously you'd hear each other and stuff, and there were cameras set up in each cubicle, and then the more time that you spent with one person, you would kind of, like, see if you wanted to go on another date with them. But then the gag is that, like, you're dating and competing amongst a lot of other people who perhaps want to date the same people. And then near the end of, like...
This was, like, a week, right? They had, like, 7 days, essentially, to, like, narrow it down.
I think, like, half of the series, I think, was them just, like, trimming down and dating and dating. Yeah. And then after, like, midway, they were like, okay, you have to make a decision. Do you want to, like, propose to this person?
True.
And so...
Well, because the shows are actually set up, the show will be like, oh, this is how long the timeline is. But in reality, the show is actually filmed in like 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So it's like everything's probably done in like a couple hours. Not actually, but it's like that was maybe done in the span of like 2 days.
But they're not. They're not watching it necessarily. I'm just saying like in the show, like when they like couple up, it's like halfway through the season.
True. Anyway, you find love by starting off by, like, you kind of have to completely surrender. You don't know who it is.
Yeah.
You don't make any assumptions based off, like, appearance is literally all the voice.
Yeah.
Cut to next stage. You, like, get to see them. You get to, like, see, like, essentially, like, as soon as you see them, propose. And then what's the final stage?
Marriage.
Yeah.
So, like, the season finale, essentially, is like,
your wedding.
Will they or will they not marry type thing.
It's at the altar. It's literally at the altar.
Yeah.
Like, wedding dresses are spent. Families are called. Yeah. It's very dramatic.
It's super dramatic. And I think that, like, I don't know. I was so sad that only one black...
We're talking about this a long time.
What? It doesn't matter.
Okay.
You're like, we gotta go!
I'm like... We have so many months to cover.
Anyway, if you want to talk more about Love is Blind, you could slide into my DMs. Actually, don't. Please don't.
Okay, what were you doing during February other than watching Love is Blind?
Yeah, so I actually started a new job that turned out to be the worst. But yeah, you live and you learn. So that
True.
Was the start of that nightmare.
Oh, I see. That was the beginning of that.
The beginning of the end.
The delving deep. Okay. Yeah. In my February, I was... Oh, actually, I forgot to tell y'all. In January, I had started dating. And this was, like, when it... So I'm, like, a I am a, y'all know, pansexual and polyamorous, or practice ethical non-monogamy. I don't know if polyamorous is the exact term I would use. Anyway, so one of my partners that I had started dating, who was coming into the relationship as a monogamous, or relationship was like a poly monogamous dynamic. And so that had started in January. And in February, we went to a Tove Lo concert. I feel like that was the last time I was out at the club, like popping it.
At the club.
Like popping it.
I mean, that's a good last time to have.
That's true. True. Yeah. Okay, so we're moving into March. So that was when the world started to, like, COVID was like here. We had the toilet paper shortages. Universities were closing. It was like, I'm sorry, I'm clapping a lot. Yeah. So that was sort of the mark, I guess, here, at least in Canada, and I guess across North America.
There was like a toilet paper shortage in the US,
yeah.
Right? Because people were hoarding groceries. That was another thing that was pretty common too.
Yeah.
So.
Also, yeah. On March 13th, Breonna Taylor was murdered.
True.
Sparking.
I think that only, it only, I guess, not came into effect, but people started protesting that a little later on in the year.
Yeah.
But that is, the month that she was murdered, and lockdown also set in. In that month. And was there anything like personally for you?
I was finishing up my degree, so it was like at the time they were like, okay, classes are canceled, and now you're gonna have to do things online, but like only for 2 weeks, or maybe we don't know actually what's happening. Mm-hmm. Also, just kidding, everything's canceled, do your exams like online. Mm-hmm. And so that was it. And then we just like, it was the most deflated end, I would say, to like a 4-year degree. It's just like, cancel, bye, say goodbye to all your friends immediately, and everyone go home, never to be seen again. I was like, oh, okay.
That's honestly a nightmare.
No big charade. Like, that's unfortunate, but whatever. You know, rightfully so, we had to close down because COVID was taking a hold. And then, what was happening for you in March?
I guess just like lockdown setting in.
Nothing
like too crazy, I would say.
Really?
Yeah.
What about April?
So April, we moved into our place, place. So that was nice at first. Still is, honestly, but we did discover that we moved into,
Our neighbors are racist.
Yeah. Our neighbors are like, not a fun place, I guess, to reside. I remember one time, I don't know if this happened in April, maybe May or so, but I was coming back from my boyfriend's place and I was just like having the best morning.
It was May.
Yeah. So I was just like walking, listening to my music. I picked up a book that I found in this like book sharing whatever
community
cubicle.
We have community libraries that are like really common. They're just like a little stand with books in it,
so. Exactly, so you like take one, give one type thing. So I found one of those books, very excited. So I'm coming into like our like strata complex or whatever, and there is this elderly white woman who's standing there with no mask, of course, with her dog. And so I look at her and I'm like, I'm clearly in the entryway about to go into this space. And she looks at me and she does not move. And I'm like, okay. And I walk straight by her and she's like, wow, I guess you haven't heard of social distancing.
Oh my
God. And I turned around and I was like, you saw me coming through. Like, what was the reason for you standing there? Like, and then she was like, you people this, you people that. And I was like, not today.
Yeah.
I was yelling. I was so angry. And then I'm like coming closer to like our apartment building or whatever, or like unit.
Yeah.
And then our like strata manager's wife or whatever is looking at me like, ooh, are you okay? And I'm like, girl, you saw everything that just went down. Like,
and
don't even
said
try.
Nothing.
And said nothing. Like, don't even try to act as though like I could not even deal. So
Yeah. This place is like, it got wild. They tried to charge us like, what was it? Like
$250
because we had our own clothing line up to dry our clothes. And they were like, it's making the place look run down and shanty and shabby. And
they actually also said that it was
like,
ruining
what?
The structure, the
integrity of
the building.
And
I'm
like, I was like, how? It's a rope.
It's a rope.
I was like, that holds. y'all are really trying to make this space inhabitable. I'm sorry, I keep clapping y'all, but yeah. I clap when I get heated because it's like
it was that, so it, that
it's just been wild.
Because it's like you look at every other unit and every they other have, unit
they
has
have strings. They have all these little things hanged up on their
tables,
all these
like
lights,
miscellaneous objects.
One person has literally like a giant like 50-foot sheet of plastic to make this like artificial pseudo greenhouse. Yeah. And I'm just like,
and we're not allowed to have a
and
rope.
Have all these like these piles of like and piles of like dusty, musty, like pots, and I'm like, but our
we
rope
can't have a rope
with clothes to dry is ruining the property value.
Goes the integrity against, goes of the building
strata rules. And I got silly with them for a moment with that. And I was
like, as soon as I got, because we got the letter in the mail, I was like, it's over. Like, we just have to take it down.
Yeah.
Like, I was not ready to
fight. Oh, I was trying to fight it for a while, y'all. I was like, oh, yeah, let me go outside and measure it. I was like, well, for you to even be able to see this piece of rope from the street, you would have to be 5'9 to 6'2, and the field of view would only be 1.5 meters if you were walking at a pace of blah, 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 blah per second. I was like, I literally did this math. Like, I went in. I was like, y'all want to get silly with me. And then they were like, we're going to just call your landlord about this. And I was like, okay. And then,
landlord was like, I can't get involved. And we're like, no worries. We'll take it down. Just know that this is clearly racially motivated.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I can't say anything. And I'm like, I'm not even asking you to say shit.
Yeah.
I'm just asking you to at least at the very bare minimum acknowledge what is going on.
Yeah.
But clearly that's too much. No problem. We will.
Goodbye.
We will take it down.
Yeah. No
and
problem.
So it's just been jumping hoops. So that has been our...
That was April
that was
and May.
April, May, June, July, honestly. Yeah. They tried it the whole time.
They've been trying it.
They've been trying
so it. So May, what is happening in May?
So May, I actually met my boyfriend. Yeah.
Oh, little BF, little BF.
Little BF, little
He's not
ting-ting.
Little at all. He's actually very tall.
Yeah, he's super tall. One of the things that I love about him,
small
treat,
if you will.
Yeah. So yeah, that was honestly May.
May, there's also a lot going on. So for context, late May and sort of bleeding into, poor choice of words, transitioning into the beginning of July was really the rise of the Black Lives Matter movement, the murder of George Floyd, and that was sort of the catalyst for it, with Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, Eric Garner, Michael Brown, Tamir Rice, Trayvon Martin, Sandra Bland.
They weren't all murdered in 2020, obviously, but I think the catalyst was really George Floyd's murder.
Yeah.
And that kind of, led to the rise of the Black Lives Matter movement again, because this isn't like a new
this
thing.
Isn't the
I think
first
it just,
time.
It just garners more traction as there's more. I think that also the conditions were ripe.
They
for
were
this
ripe, exactly.
Because it's like, it's a pandemic. People don't have their regular activities. And so
you're
less
them.
Distracted. Yeah. And so you kind of have to focus on the issues at hand.
Yeah.
And I think, and you can't afford to turn a blind eye to what's going on. And I think that that's
it's
a little
hard
sinister,
to.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like, it took you not being distracted in your regular, you know what I mean?
And, but this thing, the gag was, is that people were still not, like, that was what's wild to me. It's like, even during a pandemic, when you were being told to stay inside, right? There's, like, every sort of, like, whims and limbs, all the screens are, like, telling you information, you know, what have you. It's like, you have to actually really try to avoid participating, understanding, engaging with what's happening, because it's everywhere, right? And you aren't going anywhere, right? And it's like, so nothing's happening. There are no concerts. There's no nothing. Like, this is what's being discussed.
Yeah.
So you actually had to try to not join the discussion.
Though.
And many did. Many did. Many,
many
really did.
And many tried to take on this, like, stance of
I've discussed before.
And performative allyship was definitely, to me, 2020 will be remembered as the
year of
the
performance.
It was
performance,
and
honestly. It's to continue.
Yeah.
It continues.
Yeah. To be continued, for sure.
For me, in May, I also started the Vancouver Cat Count. So that was really cool, because that was like this massive research project that I had essentially been working on since November of 2019, And it was like this project that I essentially took from like writing it down, and writing all the pieces, and then actually going out into the city and like putting the plan to action. It was really cool. So that was intense because it was like, it's literally the largest project of its kind for Canada. But it's also like, I had to do that while having my other job and my other job, and then also educating all my fucking white acquaintances. Like, that was just, May was absolutely wild.
I also felt
wild.
For you too, because I think that that's also when you realize how not with the shits your like people were, or the people that you were surrounding yourself with. But it, I think it was also good too, because it kind of just like lit something up in you. So it's like,
growth, lots of growth, but it was definitely a big slap in the face. Just the sheer amount of messages being like, can you carry my emotional baggage? Because you are the only Black person I know. And I'm like, oh, you have positioned yourself really poorly. This needs to change because this is not okay. And so, yeah, that was May. June. Sure.
Also, just like about like the Black Lives Matter movement, it's not unique to the U.S. So there are many Black and Indigenous Canadians who are also faced with police brutality. And so there's Reggie Korchinski Paquette, who is an Afro-Indigenous Toronto woman who was actually pushed off of her apartment complex. I think she was like on the 24th floor or something by a police officer
during a wellness check.
And there was also DeAndre Campbell, who is 26, and he was shot and killed in Brampton, Ontario by someone from the Peel Regional Police Office.
Also during a wellness check.
I think, definitely a pattern there in terms of the lack of consideration for Black and Indigenous people and the ill-equippedness, if you can say that.
That too, but also the sheer dissonance too. I feel like it was really clear, I guess, during that month, because people really had, like, the only context in which they were having these conversations around race and their implicit anti-Blackness was in relation to America and, like, American history and American suffering. And it's like, you have Black Canadian friends, right? There is a Black Canadian history. There is literally, like, for me, it was just, like, so shocking to be like, how the hell do you not even have, like, the, I guess, willingness to engage with the realities of the people who you're allegedly trying to talk about, like, the Black people in your life, but not, like, the context in which it applies to your country, like,
But I think that that's also the way in which Canada has always presented itself, and I think that that's, like, the insidiousness of it, is that, like, it's this very, like, we are speaking from a place of, like, this doesn't happen here, like, we, peace and love, and, like, all things good, and then, like, it facilitates that, like, us versus them interaction.
Kind of idea,
when, in fact, it's, they inform each other, and it's like, the anti-Blackness and the anti-Indigenous sentiments in this country, in Canada, are very much prevalent, but they just show up differently. And we don't talk about them. And so that's also why it's not, not discussed. If you're looking for resources to learn about like the Black Canadian experience, you can read Robin Maynard's book, I think it's Policing Black Lives is what it's called. So you can check that out. I will also mention it in the description of this episode. But yeah, definitely lots of research to do in terms of like the Canadian history and Black Lives Matter. So that was May. June for me. So June was my half birthday. So June 2nd, do not roll your eyes at me. It was my half birthday. Yes, it was on June 2nd. So that means that my birthday.
It was also my 8th. It was my 8th.
That's not even funny. Like, I'm done. Like, my half birthday was June 2nd, and my actual birthday is December 2nd. And I also launched my Patreon. I should say relaunched, because I launched it in, like, I want to say February, and there was, like, no one subscribed at all. And I was like, okay, let's just dead this. But then I was like, you know what? Let's just put some more effort into it. And so I relaunched it in June, and I guess that's like June for me. What did June look like for you?
June was a mess. So if y'all remember back in January, right, when we were getting these tattoos, I also started dating. Mention that. And yeah. So by June, I would be breaking up with this partner, unfortunately. I guess it was fortunate in the sense that it was like to be rid of this person.
Yeah.
But it was unfortunate in the way that it happened and also in the emotions that transpired. Yeah. This was like probably my first like real breakup. And so it's just very messy. Like when I say messy, just like physically messy, like my face, like a lot of tears, a lot of snot, like a lot of just like, yeah. So that was June. And that was also because June, I was asked to give a speech on the fetishization and sexualization of Black bodies for the Freedom March in Vancouver. Mm. And that kind of what sparked the breakup also with my partner, was because they were going camping instead of coming
yes!
to support me during that speech.
Yes, and I remember.
Yeah, so that was unfortunate. And then it led to this other conversation and they were just like, I didn't know. And I was like, well, I shouldn't have had to tell you. It was like all these other, yeah. So there's a lot of things. And
yeah.
One thing led to another and then more things came up and I was like, okay, so this, yeah. So
this is like a pattern of you not being able to recognize my humanity.
Yeah.
Its entirety, right?
And also at the time too, I was like, realistically, I was just like so sad. Like, and it felt so heavy and I felt like I had no space because I was like, I had to work to like make rent. And also I had to continue this project for my career in science. And I also had to like, you know, like kids give me life. So that was like the only thing keeping me sanity was like teaching these kids how to rock climb and da da da. So it's like, and then so I was just like, yeah, also I don't think I'm in the headspace too to even be in a relationship. So that there's just so many
but
factors.
Like particularly... Yeah, exactly.
One that I was going to have to put, yeah.
Exactly. Like, it needs to be a relationship that pours into you and you're able to pour into them without it being taxing.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, you can't have another job.
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
That just, so, like, makes so much sense.
Yeah. That was June. That was really hard. That was a hard month.
I know.
Yeah. And then July was not any easier.
July was not,
what was happening in July?
So, for me personally, honestly, just, like, working, horrors, honestly, can't even discuss them, honestly, on the podcast, but it was honestly a blur, but collectively, I believe that was a month that Kanye West, we should say, announced his attempt to, like, run for president.
That was wild.
That was really interesting. And
that was wild. Yeah. I wish we had more of like what was happening in American politics too, because I'm sure there was something happening.
Oh, there's always something happening. But it's also just like...
It was like, and Joe became the Democratic nominee.
Yeah.
I don't know. Americans.
I have one fun fact for November that we'll discuss, but it's not really a fact. You all know this, or you should. What?
That's not, we're not on November. We're
I
in
know,
July.
Oh, okay. Saying about like American
okay.
politics.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. I promised our listeners order. Okay. So we're going to.
What else do we have for July?
Oh, July was also. Okay. So yeah. I felt like June was super heavy. July, I was like spiraling, but I feel like I was in this like very manic-like state, and I was like, because I got asked to do some press for my first time, and so that was like, oh my gosh, like, okay, like, I'm getting recognition for the science thing I'm doing, but also, like, there are all these things happening in my life, then all these people demanding so much from me, and I was also, like, demanding so much for myself, and I was just like, this is
demanding so much
wild. This is absolutely wild in terms of, the strain it was putting on my body, which then led to
August.
Yeah, so that leads us to August.
So yeah, in August I finally quit my job, so that was really fun, and I also had my first ad, so it hasn't been released. I think it's coming out in 2021. But yeah, like I partnered with a brand for the first time and worked on like my media kit, worked on setting my rates. I think I sold myself short on that one, but it's okay. You live and you learn.
Yeah.
And I definitely have learned. And so 2021, I am hoping for more of those opportunities to come. But yeah, it was very, it was draining. It was stressful. It was very scary. My dad also passed on August 23rd of 2018. And so it was like his death anniversary. And so that was like a little difficult to navigate, but I mean, like every day is really difficult, but the 23rd especially was just kind of like, cause that's like the day that you're like, I don't know if anyone listening to the podcast has like lost a parent or someone who's very close to you, but it's usually like on their birthday and on their, like the date of their death, where it's like people will reach out to you and be like, family members especially, like not many. I think I've had like two or three people be like, hey, I know that today is really difficult for you and I'm just checking in. And it's nice, but it's also just like, it's like a constant thing. And unless you're like carrying that grief, it's hard to like, explain to people. But yeah, so that was like a lot, like a very heavy month, but good all in all, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very freeing for me. I know that on August 4th, there was also the massive explosion, in Beirut.
In Lebanon.
Yeah, that's Lebanon's capital.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, there were more than like 200 people who passed away as a result of that blast. And there were thousands that were hurt, missing, and it caused like a lot of damage. I think as far as like 10 kilometers from the blast site. So
yeah, I remember looking. Did you see like?
I saw some of the footage.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
For comparison, I remember being like, it was like, if it were to happen in Toronto, it was like from Toronto all the way up to like almost Barrie. It was like.
That's wild.
Yeah. And then like expand, like wide width wise, it was like well into like Hamilton and like Whitby or something. Mm-hmm. It was like huge. Like, mm-hmm. I was just like, this is. That's nuts.
Yeah.
On top of a global pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm.
And that was frustrating too, because I didn't really hear a lot of people talking about it or raising funds for it.
No,
I kind of just like got, maybe that's also the content that I consume. I'm not sure, like that could also be a factor.
I saw some support going for it, but yeah. I honestly think that, and this is what I think, why there might have been like some even worse things happening in the summer that just didn't get covered was because people were so fatigued and burnt out, like in terms of like just like the effects, I think, of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so I think that like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It just did not, you didn't see the same sort of support for it, mm-hmm. which was wild.
Yeah. But that's also like people, I feel like, have a hard time working or showing compassion for many different things at once.
Yeah.
I think that it's very much like, oh, well, this is my niche. So why would I ever talk about something that does not fit in my niche? And it's like, there's more to this whole thing, right? Exactly. If you have a platform, you have the responsibility to speak about the issues that are affecting other people. Like, it's just, but of course, not everyone has that. So,
I felt the same. Well, in August, I was also like when I started to like sort of really engage more with social media, starting to like take a more direct approach and being like, what mm-hmm. do I actually want to get when I open this app?
Yeah.
Like, do I want to come to a community space? Do I want to be like learning? Do I want to be engaging? Or am I just like scrolling and whatever? Like, you know what I'm saying? So like, I just wanted to change that relationship. It was also, I think the first month I got the partnership with the like vote campaign. Mm-hmm. And then also a couple other like social media partnerships. I was like, okay, there's also ways for me to like
monetize this
and like make a living potentially. And so just like, taking it a little bit more seriously in terms of how I just engage with my online community,
mm-hmm.
Which was also hard because I was like super sad during August. Like August is my, I have my birthday during August. And normally I'm just like, birthday. And then I'm just like, I don't know, this year was like super sad. Yeah. Could not really do anything. I was just like, also just felt very heavy. So I was just like, and that brings us swiftly to.
Oh, also Chadwick Boseman passed on the 28th.
In August.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. That was wild. Yeah.
And to me, it was also the fact that he had cancer for 4 years.
For 4 years, and no one knew.
I think that that just tells to how, like, solid his crew is.
I agree, but I saw some really uncool shit on the internet after that.
Oh, yeah, I know, I saw.
Like, the most ableist freaking, like, language around it.
Talk about
everyone
that,
being like, okay,
he's so strong.
Yeah, this is something we're going to talk about real quick, was when Chadwick Boseman passed, there was all this talk around, you know, like, oh, what a model individual, like, this is exactly sort of, like, you know, the thing you would expect of a hero, like, to just suffer in silence.
Grin and,
like,
and bear
and
it.
And just never, like, no one even knew, everyone was kind of, like, I don't know, glorifying the fact that he had to, like, hid his condition, when I am sure that it was very much, like, his decision to hide his condition was very much probably wrapped in power dynamics and also the way that Hollywood operates and, yeah, like, white supremacist systems operate in general, especially on Black bodies.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you just can't convince me that that was a decision made, like entirely by himself. Yeah. No, that was, like, definitely something that was active. Calculated. Yeah, like, you know? And so it really pissed me off to see how it was being discussed.
Yeah, and I think the problem too, if, like, you're new to, like, discussions about ableism, it's just, like, this idea that grinning and bearing through your pain and living with a terminal illness is seen as something that would make someone into a hero is really, really
It adds value.
Because then, like, you shouldn't be expected to work or to extend yourself to these, like, whatever extents, with a terminal illness. I think it's great that he did and that he achieved what he wanted to achieve in his lifetime, and I don't think that we should ever take away from that. But when you get into this, seeing this person as a hero because he worked despite having a terminal illness, it's very problematic.
And that's what the conversation very that came around, right? It was focusing on his condition,
really, whether
it was his track record or his literal, like, big acting chops. It was like, he did this thing while sick. And it's like, what do you think people with chronic illnesses do every day?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's
only when he's passed that now
that it was valued. Like,
this is a value.
That was
but
also
it's like
wild.
People with disabilities are out here day in, day out, surviving in this capitalist
very
thing.
Yeah.
And it's not, we just look past it as like, well,
this world that tells you have to hide your condition because
then you're going to miss out on opportunities
potentially,
and you're also going to be viewed in a certain way, and you're also going to be required to speak on certain, you know what I mean? It's just like,
there's so many layers to it.
Yeah.
And it was very frustrating too, because you just know the intersection of being Black. I just know that that was had such a large role on this decision to keep it to his most immediate circle, especially how it would play out in the media, how you're exactly, like, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head earlier when you were like, this sort of, that sort of shift in expectation publicly that would also follow.
Yeah.
And then I just, you know, like, you're already the first Black superhero. You already are facing the, like, all this vitriol from this very white community of, like, superhero lovers. Not to say that Black people don't love superheroes, because I am Black and I love superheroes. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying the culture is very white, and it's just like that. There are so many things that he was facing. And so I can only imagine.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating to sort of see how it was handled.
Absolutely. And we will talk about ableism in another episode, because I think that that's something that
we should
definitely discuss on the pod. And we've heard a few of you request it, so it is coming. And so, so that was, like, I guess August. And September, we actually launched this podcast in September.
Oh!
So we launched
it, honestly,
this.
It feels like so much longer.
September 1st, 2020.
Yeah.
I remember writing the bio, launching, coming
we
soon.
We worked for a long time. I remember working almost through August too. Yeah. During this sad month, being like trying to get like the designer for the for the art and trying to come up with the name and being like, okay, rah rah, what we gonna do?
Yeah. choosing the platform and then realizing after the fact that we cannot monetize it on through the platform Anchor because we're not Canadians. American.
Yeah,
like,
that was
funny. So in case you're listening to this, if you use Anchor, you can only monetize it if you're in the US. Otherwise, actually, you can probably monetize it like independently, but like through the actual app, you can only do that if you're based in the US. So yeah. If you're thinking about launching a podcast, you learned it here first. Yeah. So
get a YouTube channel. Okay.
No, that's not what
we're saying. Monetize it.
But I think that Anchor is a really good app for editing and like distribution. And so I love it. So I think that's why we're like still here, obviously.
Yeah, it's actually really nice.
It's really, really easy to use. So yeah, we launched
Wow, that was September.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what was happening in your life in September? Also, the podcast. What else?
I was just, like, chilling. I was just, like, on a high of having, like, quit my job.
True.
Not really sure what was next, but just, like, taking a moment to breathe, take it in. Still, obviously, like, work on my social media. I think I used that time to really amp up, like, my Patreon content in terms of, like, what I'm going to post, like, brainstorming ideas and stuff like that. So yeah, September was really cool for that. And I also went to Montreal like late September, beginning of October to help my sister move. And that's actually around the same time that Joyce Echaquan, so she was a 37-year-old Indigenous mother of seven who was killed due to racially motivated medical negligence in Montreal. So there were two nurses who were white Quebecers, and they were the whole time that she was there just like spewing racial slurs, dissing the fact that she had seven children.
Absolute horrible
vitriol,
story. Yeah.
Vitriol. And so she was denied care and literally filmed it. And I think she went live on Facebook or something like that. And she was literally saying like, this is going to be the end of me. Like I will not. And sure enough, she died. And well, killed. She was killed. She was did not die.
Yeah, that's straight up. Yeah, death by.
And yeah, the medical professionals who were responsible for that were actually just put on leave.
Yeah, they were just as put they on leave. Always are.
They did not. They no pay. Criminal charges.
No
criminal charges for killing. Like nothing. And so it's actually happened since that I was in Montreal on that like. That week because there was a march that happened, I think on the Sunday or the Saturday before I left. And so I went to that. Obviously it was like everyone had their masks on. It was like somewhat social distance as much as you can do that in a protest. And it was really nice to gather with, just like with the community and just to see how quick people were to take action. That was really, really nice to see. But just so frustrating because it's like it's happening in this country, like right now
right
in Canada, like, and it's just no one.
People are so.
They're like, oh, but the US, but the, and it's like, no, it's happening right now. It's happening here. And we need to, and that's why it's so important that each and every one of us clock our family members because those nurses or medical professionals, whoever the fuck they were, who denied her medical care, are related to someone.
Yeah.
They have maybe children, they have cousins,
or
they have sisters.
Have friends.
They have
like,
friends. They have
friends
people
too.
Who can clock them.
Like light skins, clock your white friends. Like they you out here letting them in your lives.
Exactly. And then they go out to their jobs and end up killing people. So it's really important that I think that that's really when for me I started being like, we all need to be doing shit. Like it's just not acceptable.
Yeah.
Because it just hit so close to home. Like it's like anyway, so yeah, that was kind of Montreal or September for me. What about you? What was September like for you?
Well, so, oh, I forgot. August, we also had to wrap up the cat count. So that was being finished and for the summer session. And in September, we got the word that we were like, oh, we can do some winter funding. Oh, no, we didn't get the word in September. But September, we were applying for winter funding to continue the cat count. Into the winter. But September was pretty blurry for me. I was just like very sad boots, or like recovering from that like really intense month that was August.
Mm-hmm.
And just, oh, well, September, I also like, I was finally getting back. I heard back from UBC regarding my master's application that was submitted back in like June. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I forgot to tell you all about that during the June month, but Yeah, and then, or no, it was actually submitted in, like, yeah, like, no, June. It was submitted in June. Mm-hmm. They got back to me, and they're like, oh, yeah, you can start in January. I was like, oh, okay, that's great. So, yeah. What about, it was just funny, because when they sent me that letter, they had made a mistake, and they're not like, on the date. Your date starts September 1st, and I'm like, it's, like, the 18th or something. Like, I was like, what is this? I actually emailed them being like, is this a joke?
Can I get a refund?
Yeah, it's like, what are you talking about? They're like, so sorry. And I was like, okay, but y'all are taking my money. Like,
yeah.
This is ridiculous. Okay, so we're going to October.
Yes.
What happened then?
So October, I figured out my next move, like job-wise, career-wise. So that was really exciting. And yeah.
What was that? What was
working again?
Oh.
Yeah. What about for you? How was October?
Yeah, pretty chill. Not chill, but I was busy, was working. Nothing really memorable other than actually I climbed Goat Mountain with my friend Lillian.
That's really fun.
Which is something I had been really wanted to do over the summer, but I didn't get a chance to. And then, yeah, made it there. And it's just such a cool hike. And it's just like, oh, it was so cool. I love hikes where you actually feel like a goat. Like, it was, like, sketchy at some parts. You're, like, kind of exposed. You're, like, clinging onto the rock as you're, like, going up. And it's just like, oh, that was just so cool. Yeah, there was this one part where we're like, oh, we should take this, like, super sketchy path. Like, up this. And it'd, like, it'll be a shortcut. And I swear it was, like, a path meant for like a wolverine. It was so hard to take. It's like, oh my goodness. It was straight up 90 degrees. Like, oof.
Damn.
Yeah, we were like climbing up a wall of rock and dirt. That was wild. But very fun, very rewarding. Moving swiftly into November.
Swiftly.
What's November like? What marked November?
I guess. I was like a little homesick in November. So my dad's birthday is in November. Something about like Scorpio season, you know, just like brings out the feels in me. And yeah, that was pretty much that. Kamala Harris was voted in as VP. So she's like the first Black woman in that position. She's like, yeah. I don't know.
The October was the U.S. election. Yeah, that was what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
sure. People. Fun fact.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel a lot of types of way about that, but I'm not going to.
We can't get into it on this
episode. We can't get into this on this episode. So
it's a review.
It's a triumph. There is a Black woman in office, and that is just representation, okay?
That's actually just the topic sentence of a new episode.
What? Later. Representation?
Yeah, maybe we'll do that later.
That would be interesting, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
What about you?
Well, that was the month I launched my Patreon.
Ooh, okay.
So, yeah, the Wildlife Clubhouse, a little community space for, like, learning about how animals think and act, kind of a focus on urban animals, but we go all over the world with it, so it's quite fun. But, yeah, similar to you, I kind of first launched it, and I wasn't really getting, like, any sort of interest in it, I would say.
You're basically at 20, like, a month later, relax.
Okay, well, I had to switch up my strategy because I was like, okay, I'll simplify sort of the wording around everything because I'm just very much like, go, 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 like, type, type, type. The first thing you put out is great. Trust your instincts. Yeah. And then I'll, like, have a week to, like, actually go back and be like, it's not working the way I thought it would. And yeah. It's like, because you could review and spend more time into it. So
fair.
Just putting a bit more energy into that. And mm-hmm. Now I feel as though I'm starting to see the interest that I'm like trying to garner. Mm-hmm. I do have like this goal that I'm working towards for before January. It's just like I like to set goals like short term, medium term, long term, just to try and like work towards them. Even mm-hmm. if I don't like necessarily achieve them, it's just like nice being able to like
have something to work
put towards. Put tools in motion towards like achieving something that I want. Right. Yeah. And then learning through that process. So,
yeah.
That was November. And now we're here.
We're in December.
Wow. Oh, yeah. My gosh. A whole calendar.
Yeah. So December 2nd was my birthday, as I mentioned. Whoop, whoop.
Sad season. Did you know that Sagittarius are represented by a goat in the zodiac sign?
That's interesting.
No, they're not. I don't think. Yeah, they are. They're with horns, right?
No, it's like, isn't it the man that's like half man, half horse?
Yeah, okay. It's kind of like a goat thing.
I wouldn't say so. I was just trying to talk about my birthday, just personally.
Okay, tell us about it.
I didn't really do much. I didn't really do much because it's a pandemic, but I just like people to know I'm a Sagittarius. Birthday December 2nd. So, I guess like the holidays were a little rough on everyone just because, you're just away from family, away from the people that you love. But for someone like me, it's kind of just like...
Away from family.
Yeah, exactly. it's just another day, honestly.
For us.
But I can imagine how difficult that was for many of you being away from your loved ones. And so, albeit not permanently, but I'm just trying.
It was hard. Yeah, seeing all these people post hard. Being like... And this is the hardest Christmas I've ever had to endure alone. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Hey,
I know.
I'm sorry.
And it's also just like so many people have actually like lost loved ones.
Yeah.
During the pandemic, I've lost family members like throughout this year. And so it's just like, yes, it's difficult to be away from your loved ones, but just to know that they're alive. Like, I think that we have to go back a little bit more in terms of our gratitude and what we're grateful for and sort of put that into perspective. Not to say that your feelings are not valid, but to say that we have to keep in mind that we're all living through a pandemic and there were losses. So always important to keep that in mind when we speak about our own experiences. And I guess that was December. In a wrap, of course, there's a little more to go for the year, but actually, maybe not by the time this comes out. I think...
No, by the time this comes out, yeah. The year will be over.
Oh my gosh, we're going to release this on the 31st.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like, wow, that's over.
Oof. It's over! It's a over ting.
It's a done ting.
So December... What else is happening in December?
I guess we should maybe talk about new year, new me, resolutions, goals, what's next.
Yeah, like, let's talk about 2021, looking to a better future now that we have, perfect vision or whatever, all these silly
2020.
Memes. Oh my gosh, it was so funny, all those memes coming up. Like, I don't know if you saw this. Probably not, because, it was mainly my white friends posting as being like, what if 2020 actually is just giving us the perspective we needed all along.
Okay.
And I'm like,
we need to talk about that because I think that for a lot of people, they just woke up to what's going on.
Like what your black friends experience on a daily basis.
From
the jump.
And that to me is just so frustrating because it's like, we have been experiencing
this.
Been speaking about this, but every time and time again, you're like, oh, well, maybe it's not that. Maybe they were just having a bad day. Always consistently invalidating our experiences until this big 21 shows up and you're like, I guess maybe I'm
learning. Yeah. And I was actually shocked because I was like, do I not talk about this publicly? And I had to go back into like my highlights, into my stories and be like, no, but you've been talking about this from time, like from
and
like
no
2016 and no one, and it's literally, I literally went back and I looked at the analytics and I was like, oh, it's literally during every time I talk about race that everyone exits out the story. Everyone stops viewing. Everyone skips to the next one. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, interesting.
And all of a sudden, now people have an unquenchable thirst
for knowledge.
And it's like, you're actually not looking for knowledge. You're looking to
consume
profit off of my traumatic experiences. And that to me is just so sick. The fact that videos of black people being killed by the police
is
were
what
going
needed,
viral.
Is what needed you.
And what was
is what you needed
to provoke
to participate.
Something in someone. Like that to me is, and people are like, well, we just needed the push. We just needed to see it. I was like,
what?
Black people have been lynched. From time.
In 2020 also.
In 2020, in this year, but also years before. and these were public events that white people went to for entertainment.
And took photos at. We have images of this. And they're smiling. Because people were like, this was a good thing to do. And people be like, oh my gosh, it happened so long ago. They purposely made the Black Panther Revolution. They made images of Martin Luther King. They made images of Black leaders, prominent Black leaders, people who've been speaking about this. They made them black and white. Why? Because to make people be like, it's so long ago.
Yeah.
What the hell? No. Yeah. It literally was like, 50, 60 years ago? That's your grandma. That's your grandmother. For a lot of you, that's your parents. So many of these rich white people literally have parents who are like 50, 60. And I'm like, that's your parents who were alive during the start of affirmative action and whatnot. And you try to say, oh, but I'm just starting to learn. Yeah. Okay, so what were your parents doing this whole time?
Yeah.
Why aren't you having a conversation with them? That was wild to me too.
I was really like,
so it's not just you. It's you and your mom and your dad and your sister and your mom's mom. And I'm like, this is actually
wild. And it's like, don't come to me for absolution. Do not come to me as in like, oh, I'm so sorry that I don't want to hear about it. I think that it's just so sad that we have been talking about this, and then all of a sudden now is the time where you choose to listen. And I really think that it's choosing to listen because, as you said, people have been talking about this. So hopefully people will continue to choose to listen and choose to educate themselves about anti-racism and really truly divesting from oppressive systems. And that's honestly my hope for the new year. I have made the decision recently to stop talking about racism and misogynoir on social media because it has just been the most vile experience. And
that's what I found in August. I'm going to die if I continue to
opened myself up just to so much trauma, hatred, abuse, and gaslighting. And it's just so unfortunate because I know that there are a few people who can actually engage in these conversations, and I found it really freeing
and refreshing.
But unfortunately, I'm going to have this in a safe space. So you can expect these conversations, of course, on the podcast and also on my Patreon. So I might be a little bit more active there as opposed to social media. I think I'll just keep it cute, keep posting like food pics and just keep it PG. Like, I really do not want to have to talk or deal about, like...
Unpaid, especially.
It's, you like, because, like, I'm realizing, too, that you're profiting off of my trauma, and you're also profiting off of the education that I have done myself, the books that I have read, and the education
the
that I have acquired.
The labor and time that I have invested into myself, you are now extracting that from
for
me
free.
To go
for
and
free.
Take it and benefit yourself
for
into
free.
The world,
for
right?
Free.
You're going to now seem like your woke friend or your woke coworker. You're going to occupy this role of, oh, I know this, da-da-da-da-da. But I paid absolutely not even a dollar.
Yeah.
I couldn't even give a dollar. That's what's wild to me too, right? Because both our patrons have what? $1 tiers?
We have $1
tiers. $1
tiers?
Yeah. I'm like, you wouldn't even notice if someone stole a dollar out of your bank account.
You wouldn't notice.
You wouldn't even notice. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's a dollar.
Yeah.
To most
but it's
people.
They can't
but
fit
it's
in
as
their budget.
Soon as you're like,
they can't
hey,
fit in their budget.
Do you want to actually just spend that dollar supporting this thing that I'm doing? It's
and that you're benefiting from on a day-to-day basis.
Exactly.
And that you are benefiting.
Yeah.
Like, that's
or that you
too.
See value in. Like, if you don't see value in it, like, that's one thing. Like, but then why are you here is my question. You know what I'm saying? If you truly don't see value in anything that I'm putting out into the world and you can't support it in financial ways or in other ways, like, then what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Is my question personally? Because that's confusing to me. Like, that, it actually makes no sense. So, my sort of hope for the new year is to, wrap it up. And, okay. my kind of hope for 2021, very similar to yours, kind of echoing in the sense that, like, I'm just demanding more.
Yeah.
I'm demanding people do more. And I just know that for me, like, for a lot of my life, I've occupied this role of like being too much, being so loud, having all this energy, doing the most, And it's like, I can now use that to also demand better, right? I can use that to actually put that energy
Jalen,
to be like,
what the fuck?
Oh, that's why I literally be out here on social media, out here on TikTok, out here being like, have the conversation with me because I will not be the one to log off. I will not be the one to walk away. I will not be the one to because at the end of the day, I have the energy and I've proven it to myself and to others time and time again. So
I love
I am moving into 2021 being like, I'm going to hold you accountable as much as I'm holding myself, which is to a, if ask anyone, the standards I hold myself to are absurd. And I know this, but it's also because I am aiming for what? Excellence. Yeah. And it's like, you can't do that by not practicing discipline, by not going for it, by not pushing for it. And you know what? I'm going to just demand the same thing from others. And granted, I'll have to tailor, you know, the message sometimes. Gotta look at it from an intersectional and inclusive lens. But I'm definitely not going to be pandering to this, like, very sort of white audience that I had been in my past. So.
I love that.
Yeah, because people really be trying it.
Yeah.
In the DMs. And in the comments.
I'm like glad that in my DMs people stay away. For the most part. Yeah. But yeah, I would suggest also like maybe restricting the comments. I know that you might not want to do that, but like restrict it to the people who follow you. Mm. I've done that and it's helped some, but I've also had some really strange people follow me so that they can comment hateful stuff on my posts. And that to me was so, that was like fan behavior.
Yeah.
Number one. But also just like, it just shows the lengths at which people will go to invade someone else's space. Like I could never imagine caring about someone so much that you would.
Well, there are a lot of people who do that. There are a lot of people who like hate follow you. There are a lot of people who just like, or don't follow you, but have your name like right on their search bar. You're the first thing there because they're just checking in on you.
Yeah.
It, you know, it's like,
so toxic.
And it's weird because it's like, you'll find out about it because that it's very easy to find out when this happens.
Yeah, because they're always commenting on your stuff or engaging with your stuff. But
or you can see who sees you, like who's watching your story but not following. It's like, it's very obvious. Like it doesn't take a detective to figure out what's happening on the other side of the screen, right?
Yeah.
And so I think, one, holding people to account, holding myself more to account. Also giving myself, like recognizing achievements when they happen. I think that's also something I'm really going to try and do in 2021. Mm-hmm. I'm just recognizing that things take time, but it doesn't mean that I have to demand everything all at once. And just continuing to push for it. I think that's like sort of what I'm moving into 2021 with. Just let's do this. You know, I'm like,
let's do this, bro.
You know, and I'm like, y'all ain't even ready for when a dance floor is open because the way I'm moving into 2021,
I'm not going to any dance.
The way I am moving into 2021, let alone when they announce to me when I get that text, sir, Mr. Them, all the things, I have no idea. My brain is still very gendered, so trying to unwork that. Anyway, when they text me, come to the club, I'm a B. They're popping my pussy like said, this. So
when you said Mr. Them, it was just perfect. Mr. Them.
I'm like, why is my mind? Anyway, still unlearning the binary. So that's 2021, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's exciting. I think
do you like set goals? Like, have you set your goals yet?
I do. I set goals, but people kind of because I have a lot of goals for like short, medium, and long term. But my goals aren't like they're not all set in stone. They're more like checkpoints, I guess you could say.
Okay.
But if I don't reach that checkpoint, it's maybe because I like took a shortcut or like took an alternate path, so I didn't have to like do that one thing, or maybe I. Like, I'll come back to it at a different point.
How many, so how many goals you have on your, that you, like, want to achieve in 2021? Like, has that list been formed?
That list has been formed.
Yeah.
How many, like, goals?
How many items?
Yeah. How many items are on this list? Like, 15?
Okay. You also break down your goals into smaller goals.
Yeah. Too. So, it's, like, I would say for the year, it's, like, major goals for the year, and then each goal will then have like smaller sort of timeline associated goals for that. Mm. But then all of those year goals then go into like the larger sort of long, medium term timeline goal, and then it goes into the long term timeline goals. But
wow,
that's just because that was like all of 17 to 19 was what I spent doing, was being like, what am I doing? What do I like? What do I love? Mm-hmm. What are my interests? Where do I want to go?
Well, I think that's really important though, right?
Yeah.
It's like you're here for a purpose. And if you don't have those goals, if you don't have that like thing that you're looking forward to, that structure, then like, what's the point of life, right? Like, it's like you could get really lost.
Yes. You know? I do say this though, because I feel as though a lot of times I'll talk with people who be like, well, I don't know what I want to do. And I feel as though that is actually not the issue, because, and maybe I'm just speaking from purely my own experience, mm-hmm. but I oftentimes felt it so easy to say that sentence. Like, I just don't know what I want to do. I have no idea like what I'm going to like, but it's like, have you given your time? Have you given yourself time to research, to actually investigate, to try, yeah. right? It's like, or are you just sitting here being like, I don't inherently know what I want to do, and therefore I'm not going to do anything. And it's like, it can be pretty, it can freeze a lot of people, I find, but it's like, you actually have to be willing to like try things that you research, find interest in, and then like put it into reality. And it's like, if you don't, you're not going to find out what it is you like or what it is you want to do, yeah. right? I mean, I'm again, only speaking my perspective, but it was like, you know, 17 to 19 being like, okay, what do I like? What do I do? Love animals, want to do this, want to do that. Okay, got me to the program at UBC. By no means at 19 was I like, oh, I'm going to set up this urban camera trap study for Canada and take it across the country. Like, no, mm-hmm. right? But that I was able to develop where I want to go, a new goals from that, because of spending time and trying out and going into the things that I was like, oh, okay, this is maybe mm-hmm. where I want to go, right?
I think, yeah, I think that like, that's a really good way to put it. But I think that also when people say like, I don't know what I want to do, it could also be that the things that they want to do not fit within a capitalist structure.
True.
And so it's really hard to monetize certain things. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Because so the only reason, yeah.
And that's yeah. often a concern, right? It's like, how do I monetize this? But the gag that I have learned also in 2020 is that like, your 9 to 5 doesn't have to be something that you're passionate about. This whole idea yeah. of like a dream job is so played out.
Yeah.
And I am so
it also doesn't
sad.
Exist for us. It doesn't exist for our generation.
Yeah. I don't know if it's for our generation, but like I know that for many people, like it's just unrealistic yeah. to assume that like you will get a job that fulfills your bank account the way that you need it.
Exactly.
That fulfills your soul in the way that you need it, and that gives you purpose, and that also doesn't require you to perpetuate harm onto other individuals
yeah.
by buying into this capitalist and very like hierarchical structure, right?
Yeah.
So for many of us, you do have to like suck it up and do that 9 to 5.
And,
right?
and oftentimes,
but that that 9 to 5 does not have to be the is all end all of your existence or what you're doing. And I think that like I was seeing a lot of people, like especially my peers, because just like recent grads getting into your first job, da da da, and really getting lost into that like corporate, like that structure and that
this
kind
is
of
my
like
life.
This
yeah.
is my life, and like the next goal is like I'm gonna make this position, and then I'm gonna do this, and then I'm gonna do that. And it's like, how are you, does this fill your cup?
Yeah.
Are you showing up for the people in your life the way that you want to, or is this just a means to an end? Like, or is this just for you to prove that you are that person working this job, right? At this firm.
Yeah.
And so I think that for me, yeah, just like realizing that you can have multiple interests and work on multiple things. And there are ways to monetize things in different ways that allow you to have certain flexibility, and just like, just opening my mind to the world that was not necessarily the 9 to 5
yeah
was
but also just people need to recognize too, and this is like, I to be honest, I don't really speak truthfully about this when people ask me, because I'm pretty upset whenever people ask me, so I'm usually just like, ha, 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 yeah. But whenever someone's like, oh, how do you work so much, how are you doing so much, it's like, I literally have to. I don't have the same opportunities to literally just have access into career, or have like my rent paid for, or to have like my mental health cared for, right? I don't have these access to these things, because all of these things cost a lot of money, or you just require a lot of privilege or a lot of access, right? So for me, it's like me entering this, me to have to be able to work on my career
yeah.
and also pay rent and also have some semblance of fun and mental health, I do have to have 3-4 jobs, right? Plus something online. It's like, it's not a factor of like, oh, I'm trying to do the most and trying to work so much. It's literally like, I have a job that pays my rent. I have a job that covers my mental health. I have a job that covers my career development. And it's like, and I have to have all of those jobs, or I can only choose to succeed in one of my goals, right? And it's like, it's so wild to me that people like mm-hmm. just be so quick to be like, oh yeah, well, you work so much. I'm like, but you also need to technically be working a lot too. And the thing is, like, actually though, if you don't need to be working a lot, why in the hell do you feel comfortable saying that and like speaking that to someone who is working so much, you know? Like, you actually don't have to, you don't have to have a job that is solely focused to make rent, because your career job is also able to do that. Or the job that also gives you, you know, your life and your mental health cookies and all your happiness is also paying your rent. You know what I'm saying? For many people, that is not the case. Yeah. And it is, it becomes harder and harder for that to become the case the more intersectional your identity becomes and the further away from white male identities that you inhabit. So it's just like, it is just, it's so baffling to me when people like, especially so many white men will come up and be like, oh my God, you're like working so much. I'm like, you literally don't, how many jobs have you had?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a and reason why since 12 I've had to work, or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not because I woke up one day as a 12-year-old and being like, yeah, I want to work. It was because I wasn't like getting the food I wanted or needed. And I also wasn't in a home or position to like have access to the things I wanted. So I went out of my way to be like, okay, I'll start working for $5 a day so I can buy myself like snacks and what have you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you don't have that same like experience, but you have this, you have all the gall to ruck up and be like, oh, well, why are you doing this? Why don't you just take a day off? Why don't you just work? Why don't you slow down? Are you paying me to take a day off?
That's the other thing, you know? Too, where I'm just like, because like, I've had to like take a step back from my like career, whatever, and I'm like changing everything, whatnot. Like, Patreon is what allows me to have mental health. To,
yes.
Like, see a therapist.
It's so, yeah.
And like, without that, I would not be able to fit it into my budget.
Yeah.
I really would not right now, like where I'm at, I'm trying to save up, trying to just like do all the things. Like, it's just not happening.
That is my actual goal with Patreon, is to be able to
literally
to use Patreon to pay for sessions because they're so expensive.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ugh.
Like that, like the money I make, like right now, that's everything that I make from Patreon goes to my therapist.
Yeah.
So like, just so that people understand, like, it's just very infuriating to when people will ask like, oh, is Patreon your only means of making
money? Or what are you doing with this money?
Yeah. Or like, what's your full-time job? Like, people will ask me that. And I'm just like, it's not necessarily inappropriate, but it's like the notion that you have to have
to ask that question.
You have, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, if you do not see value in my work, if you are not learning from my work, then you do not have to contribute to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you do and you have the means to, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You don't need to ask someone how that $5 a month that you're giving them.
Where is it going? What is it doing? Break it down for me. It's like, to be honest, I'm telling you that I need $5 a month, right?
Yeah.
That's already the, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that is already too. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's,
just holding people to more account, making spaces more community focused, taking care of ourselves. These are what we are interested in and focus on in 2021.
Yeah.
And we also want to hear what y'all are moving into 2021 with.
Yeah.
And what you're sort of taking from 2020.
What you've learned.
What you've learned. Yeah. And sort of what your sort of hopes and goals are for 2021. So please let us know in the review or even in the comment section at GoToNotes Podcast, or let us know on Patreon at patreon.com/JauntingJ.
And patreon.com/supportthevegan.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really nice talking to you today, wrapping up the year.
It was really nice.
Vibing.
Just like remembering what happened. I literally was like, oh my God.
Yeah. I think the tattoos for me was really
That really threw us back.
That really threw me. So.
Two tattoos this year.
In 1 year.
Are you kidding me?
Like, no, I can't. I actually
that
cannot.
Actually, it blows my mind. I'm like, but
this year was so long. It was the longest year. It was so long.
Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, 2020. So yeah, thanks for tuning in. Do not forget to leave us a review. We do not have any more reviews to read. And so, I'm serious.
No, it's true though. So please, yeah.
Please, you know, we might just wait for the next review before we drop the next episode. That might be the setup. That might be the ask. But thank you for listening today.
And wherever you are, we're hoping that your 2020 ends better than it went. So.
Okay. Bye, y'all.
Bye.